So we're here on Thanksgiving. Has everyone had a good Thanksgiving?
Pretty good, yeah. Good food, good family time. Mm-hmm. Nobody's been to the ER yet, so I guess that's pretty successful.
Yeah, it's...
Day's not over, yeah.
Some daylight left. So good pie. Good French silk pie. That was great. My favorite... Trying to think. What was my favorite part of the meal?
French silk pie.
French silk pie is pretty good.
Corn casserole.
Yeah, that was really good. The cornbread.
Allie made that. Shout out to you, Allie.
Yeah.
Great job.
That was one of my favorites.
Dad's over here in the corner saying he liked the pecan cheesecake.
He doesn't have a mic, but he still wants to participate. So
he wants to be somebody.
Yeah.
So we're not willing on the sidelines. I mean, maybe one day we'll invest in a mic for Dad.
Yeah.
We haven't done that yet.
The old man.
All right. I want to talk about a couple different things. I want to talk about the validity of bird count surveys. Okay. I want to talk about birds.
Yeah, we should talk about birds.
And we're going to talk about our Mac and I's most recent trip to Kansas. Last weekend, which involves the bird count surveys. Anyone else have anything they'd like to add to the agenda?
Sounds good to me.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. So, you've probably seen on our Instagram account, if you're following, or Facebook, if you're following. If you're not...
You're one of those three people that are following us.
If you're not, you should probably go ahead and subscribe, like... What do you do on follow? Is that what you do on Instagram?
Yeah, you can follow.
You follow?
Yeah.
You should go ahead and do that so you can see all of our cool adventures. Anyways, Mac and I took a little trip down to Kansas to get after some Bob Whites, get the dogs on some Bob White quail. Research showed that, you know, the area that I planned to go into... Actually, and I'm going to talk about... I also want to talk about... planning these road trips, because
that's a good topic.
We could do a whole podcast on this, but I'm going to touch on a few things at least for sure, because I've not done a whole lot of them, and I'd like to talk to people who have more experience with them. But in the research going into this trip, I wanted to know two couple different things, but specifically, I wanted to go to an area that was high in bird numbers, clearly. And I wanted to go into an area that had a lot of access. So, you know, there's no point in hunting somewhere with a lot of birds if you can't hunt the property. Right. There's just nowhere to go to hunt. And so I picked north central Kansas because based on the... So if you don't know, Kansas has a million... I also want to talk about walk-in access.
Keep adding to the agenda.
We'll
be here.
I hope you packed a lunch. Okay, it's going to be a long day. Kansas has about 1 million acres of walk-in hunting access.
All of those are great hunting access,
That's sarcasm from Mac. No. I'd say 80% of what I saw was quality hunting habitat.
So can you give us help us out now? 1 million acres. Do you know the total size of the state of Kansas? Isn't Iowa 33 million acres?
I don't.
Iowa is 33 million acres.
Yeah, so Kansas, I would guess,
is roughly the same.
40 to 45.
You think it's...
The old man is saying 66, and we're about to get real with this. I'm going to get some research here.
I don't have Google. But anyways, so I will continue with my thought. Even though I was distracted, I don't remember what it was. You can look up where these access points are, and so you can plan your trip around, okay, there's a lot of hunting here, so I'm going to base out of here, and this is where I'm going to hunt. So I found those spots, I compared them with the roadside surveys that Kansas does every year. So in Kansas, the way they run their roadside surveys is the routes are between 30 and 50 miles, I believe. They run them multiple times, and they average the number of birds they see per mile. So it'd be quail per mile, pheasants per mile, whatever. And they try to make these routes around public access areas. Okay, so it could change year to year. So in Iowa, they run the same routes every year. In Kansas, it depends on the access because the access changes so much in Kansas. They can take, you know, landowners can take their property in and out of what they call, what I call it WEHA. Is that the actual pronunciation? It's walk-in hunting access or hunter-less access.
If you're from Iowa, it's similar to the Iowa.
IHAP.
IHAP, the Iowa Habitat and Access Program.
Yeah. And so I found an area that had good walk-in hunting access. I looked it up. I looked up that area on the roadside survey. I said, okay, generally the numbers aren't that great for this area, or they're not, you know, amazing or fantastic, but they're like double what they were last year. And that got me really excited. And I put all of our eggs in one basket, and I booked a hotel room for 4 nights in this one area. That was the first mistake.
Why was that a mistake, Mitch?
Because you shouldn't put all your eggs in one basket unless you know that are birds there.
That first day was just money, wasn't it?
No, there were no birds at all.
Yeah, we didn't see a single bird the first day of hunting. How many miles do you think we walked, Mitch?
I mean, it's not... We could have walked further. I don't know. It wasn't like anything over dramatic.
No, but we probably walked 5 or 6 miles.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We probably drove around in that county. We probably put 50 miles. We drove around the county 50 miles looking for other walk-in areas that we thought may have potential. And we came to the conclusion that there really wasn't any good hunting in this county that we were
Michael,
in.
What's the total?
53 million acres.
So 53 million
so
acres.
I was a little bit closer. 40. I said 40 to 45. Dad said, would you say 66? Split the difference. I'll give it to you. Well, we can split the difference.
Okay, well, so 1/50th of Kansas is walk-in access. Not public, not publicly owned, but walk-in accessible hunting ground.
That's awesome.
In Iowa, I don't know the numbers exactly, but it's roughly 1% of the state is owned, of the state is public ground. Not public accessible, so it's different, and it's probably not including our IHAP ground, but we don't have a ton of IHAP like Kansas has WEHA. So,
and you got to think that Iowa's west and east border are the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, so how much of that is actually like ground, I don't know. A lot of that's going to be really marginal, marshy stuff, even water.
Well, trust me, most of this WEHA is marginal.
Okay.
So,
AKA cattle pasture.
It's pasture. I don't understand how they're able to put that into this hunting access program. I mean, they get paid to do it, which is great. I don't think it's a bad thing. But I think Kansas should be a little bit more picky about what they're allowing into the program. Based on what I've seen. I haven't seen everything in like the southern parts. We only saw certain areas. But, you know, what we saw, and I'll just say, as far as, I don't want to, you know, talk about spots specifically or even maybe county specifically, but what I saw in North Central and what they classify as
the Flint Hills?
No, it was just north of the Flint Hills. It was the glaciated plains or something.
Yeah.
Most of it wasn't that great.
No.
Anyways. Yeah, so, but bird numbers, they were supposed to be good. Whistle counts were good. Brood numbers, good. And we're talking about bobwhite quail. There's not much for pheasant numbers in this area historically. So we weren't planning to see any number of pheasants. And we just got destroyed the first day.
Yeah, like, we got our butts kicked.
We saw nothing. We were hunting on the edges of cut sorghum fields in, you know, kind of brushy, you know, trees, creek edges, ditches, hedgerows.
We tried it all.
We tried everything. Everything, anywhere where I thought in Iowa, you know, that's good habitat, we tried it, and it just didn't work.
Nope.
So we drove the first day, we hunted the second day, we said, okay.
Let me ask you a question here. So in retrospect, do you think that you should have hunted the cover differently?
No.
No.
Okay.
No, I just don't think there were birds there. In the areas that we hunted, there were not birds.
The dogs didn't even get birdie. I mean, it was just...
When we first let Nova out, she was really birdie, but I'm not sure if that's just because...
I think she was just excited.
She was just really excited to be out of the box.
Yep.
So I don't think we hunted it wrong. So luckily, we basically told the hotel, hey, we're checking out tomorrow morning, and we're taking off. So that's what we should have done in the first place. I thought that the hunting... pressure's not right. But I thought this was the second week into the Kansas season, and I thought a lot of people were going to be there. And so I thought hotels are going to book up, and I need to get four nights and call it good.
We saw one other group of hunters in that county?
Maybe. We should have been booking it per night. You know, one night here, see what happens, and be flexible to go, you know. There's plenty of hotel rooms.
Yeah.
There were plenty. So, we packed it up and headed.
Do you think that was a sign then that, like, locals weren't staying there? I mean, well, obviously locals weren't staying there, but people from Kansas weren't staying there.
In this county that we started out in, there were no Budweiser welcomes hunter signs.
Bush Light welcomes hunters.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm telling you, you need
we
to
saw
be,
a lot of those when we went west.
Where we found birds,
that's
there were a lot of those signs.
Yep.
All right.
If so. You're seeing the welcome hunter signs from Budweiser, you're getting
Bush Light,
you're
but not
Bush
Coors Light.
Yeah.
No, Coors Light maybe, but there were no Coors.
Oh.
They don't know anything about birds in Colorado, though, so Coors, I mean.
Okay, I'll give you that. Dad says there's some birds in the Eastern Plains.
Yeah.
There are some birds.
He doesn't even have a mic.
There are some. Yeah. So, we referenced the Weehaw map, said, okay, where are their birds? Where's their access? Where does it look that the survey historically says that there should be birds? And we headed that way. And for us, that was southwest towards the, I'll just say, the Smoky Hills. That's the region that Kansas, the Games Department, defines it as. They define it as the Smoky Hills.
Actually, there's
a lot of hills.
Yeah,
in Kansas.
It's not just like flat. I was expecting flat, but I mean everything. It was hilly, but you could still see 10 miles one way and look the other way and see 10 miles.
You
the
could
next
see
way.
Your dog run away from you for about 3 days.
We did it. We watched Sai, and he just went.
He just kept on going.
There's no trees, right?
There weren't many. Like I said, there's some hedgerows and on the creek bottoms and stuff like that. There are. But there are no wooded areas like we have in kind of southern Iowa.
Like hardwoods like we have.
Again, there are some, but along creeks and stuff. If there's not something like that, then no, there was not any. They don't have like oak savanna, I don't think, like we historically had in Iowa. We don't have much of that anymore. But anyways, so we head southwest. We got up really early on Sunday.
Sunday morning.
Had it snowed.
Two hours west.
It was icy.
Yep.
We got out of the ice.
Mitch is a terrible ice driver.
I didn't have my snow tires on yet, and I was a little bit anxious. I was pretty stressed out. I'm not a good winter weather driver.
You actually got passed by a cop, if I remember right.
Yeah. Well, I was doing... I was being very conservative. I didn't have my snow tires on. I like to have my snow tires on in the snow.
Yeah, Mitch runs on snow tires real well during the winter.
I mean, I still go slow, but I have never, and I'm not going to say it, so I don't want to jinx myself. But, so we started, and the first spot we hit that next morning was basically what we'd been hunting the day before.
We should have just skipped over
which was a brushy creek bottom
on
the edge of a sorghum field.
Yep. And I think if we would have come across that later in the day, we would have just said, no, we don't want to hit that. Because, I mean, we eventually hit numbers or hit birds.
Nope. So we hunted that spot. We didn't see anything. We headed further south. And I think that was it the next spot we started, we hunted? I think it was the very
next one.
It was the next one, but it was like probably another hour.
Was it that
long? It had to have been because we hunted a quarter section piece bordered by cut and mostly uncut sorghum fields.
Yeah.
We got our first bird.
Yeah. Bella hit a solid point, and I kind of lost her, couldn't see her, and Mitch said she was right in front of me, and come up, and Rooster started cackling as soon as I kicked in there, and took a couple shots.
We started firing. I unloaded, yeah. We're not positive who killed that bird, but I'm giving it to Mac.
Yep.
But, yeah, bird in the bag. We were feeling pretty good.
Yeah, we were pumped.
That was a day and a half in.
Yeah.
That was the first bird we'd seen.
Yeah.
And we got lucky and it was a rooster.
That bird was not getting away.
Well, no. I don't know. It almost got away. But
it's kind of like some weight lifted off your shoulders.
For
there.
Sure. We felt a lot better after that. So we worked the rest of that quarter section.
We saw like a
couple more
total.
Good. Yeah, a lot of hens. I don't know if we saw any other roosters.
There might have been some that kicked out the ends.
Yeah,
we just didn't get to them. I think they were running. It was the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And it was starting to warm up a little
middle
bit.
Middle of the day, big piece of prairie. Really, you need to have more people than two working a field.
Yep.
So we just worked the edges, and that was enough, and we were exhausted by the time we got done with that. What do you?
Probably if the old man would have been with you, it would probably have been quite a bit different, and you probably wouldn't have had to burn a day and a half before you killed your first bird.
Well, thankfully, you weren't with us.
Do you think he could have made it through the first day?
He could have made it through the first day for sure.
Physically, but not mentally.
He would have been doubled over at
somebody
the end
wouldn't
of
have made
no,
it
the next morning, we wouldn't have been getting up at 6 o'clock or earlier to get on the road because, well, I don't know. He doesn't need to sleep much anymore because he just falls asleep at like 7 p.m.
Yeah. He might have made it through, but he might have made one of the two of you not able to move the next morning.
I don't know. I think he would have been a little bit sore.
Yeah.
I wasn't sore at that point. But, yeah. Anyways, we worked the rest of that field. We're seeing birds. We're feeling good. And we just think, okay, we just got to put the miles in. So we go down the road. Next spot, we tried to hit a creek bottom. We just ran Nova because the quarter section we worked before, we just ran Bell and Cy, the short hairs. So we worked that with Nova. Nothing.
And I think that was probably the last spot that we ran. One of those just creek bottoms along a field. It was just kind of got to us that, yeah, this isn't going to work, so let's just avoid it.
Yep.
Why do you think that is?
There were just other habitat that they'd prefer to be in, I think. And that's not really available in southern Iowa where we see them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the issue. But anyways... We again, for the southwest, we were headed towards kind of what we picked out for our destination city for that night, where we wanted to stay the night. And the next spot, and at this point, we're looking for sorghum. We're saying we're not going to hunt unless it's sorghum, and we're not sure. At this point, we hadn't figured out the prairie part exactly, but we knew that first bird, it was next to sorghum and prairie, and that's really what we were looking for. And so we got really picky at that point. We weren't just going to hunt any piece of access that we came across. And so the next spot, we left Bella in the box. Bella woke up limping pretty bad that morning. I think she was faking, though. She ended up being fine.
Hypochondria.
Yeah. But so we left Bella in the box. We get Nova and Cy out there. I didn't see it, but we get about 10 yards
into the field.
And it's a cut sorghum that's actually the access part. And I guess
Nova hit the point. Mitch didn't see it. I was getting ready to say something, and all of a sudden, like, it was just like one or two birds
popped
up initially.
Yeah, only a couple. Because I saw a couple go your way, and I was like, oh, sweet. But I held up.
I shot, and then it was just like the whole field erupted. Probably 30-plus quail came out of there.
At least 30 birds.
I had never seen anything like that before, but it was awesome.
Yep, and drop one.
Yep.
Drop one bird. The rest, yeah, I killed one bird.
Yep, and then Nova retrieved it for you,
and
which
she,
was great.
Yep, and she, yeah, well, I mean, I really did, it was a sketchy fence to have to climb over.
Yeah.
So she ran out. She's still getting used to retrieving birds. She wants to point them. And then when she grabs them, she wants to, like, bite them. So I gave her a little bit of vibrator on the collar, and she brought it back. And so, yeah, that was pretty awesome. And that was a really good retrieve because she saw it go down, and it was in clear – it wasn't in heavy cover. She could see it. She could just run out there, grab it, and bring it back. Unfortunately, most of those birds flew into private ground that we didn't have access to.
So I wanted to hunt them, but we couldn't.
Yeah. So we worked the rest of that sorghum field. We saw one single get. It wouldn't hold.
Yeah.
And that was all we saw, except for a possum.
Yeah.
There was a possum. So I had a nice point on a possum.
I mean, that was solid. So that was a good point.
So this time it is later in the day. We shot the first bird around noon. Second bird, that was at 3.
Yep.
So it sounds like there's a lot of time, but a lot of it is miles. We were putting a lot of miles on the car to get to these places because we just hadn't figured it out yet. So there wasn't necessarily much hunting time. That's all we had of it. Yeah. So we hit the road. It wasn't much further from that piece of cover.
It's pretty much down the road, but if I recall correctly, there was a little incident before we got to the last spot.
Yeah, Nova really likes her birds, and she wanted to eat that bird. So I threw it up on top of the car so I could get her put up. And I drove down and we loaded up. I hit the road.
Got about 2 miles down the road.
2 miles down the road, and I just start slowing down, and Mac's like, what? Forget your phone? Or what? I go up, I look on top of the car, the quail's gone. Forgot the quail on top of the car. So we drove back, and it's sitting in the middle of the road.
And luckily, there was a...
A truck had gone by us.
Yeah, we passed the
truck. He didn't run over it. I would have been really cheesed off if my one bird for the trip had been ran over by a truck.
All right, yep. So then we hit the last spot.
Last spot, really good
golden
spot.
Golden hour.
You know what? And actually, I wouldn't mind going back to that area.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of potential there.
Yeah, we just didn't have the time to hit all of it.
Yeah, we had 1 hour. I think season light ended around like a little after 5. And we got there about 4.
Mm-hmm.
It was a partially cut sorghum field. So the middle section still had standing sorghum. Prairie, grass on one side,
yep.
Fence, road, look good. So we start working that, and not the dog's fault. I don't think the dogs were even around.
No, I think they were just wild heading into the...
Bella might have been working some scent, or yeah. Not, Nova might have been working some scent, but those birds got up. They were in the cut section of sorghum, and they took off. And
had we been there 30 minutes later, we would have hit those birds.
I think
in the prairie.
I think they were moving to the grass to roost for the
yep.
night.
Yep.
So we kind of screw around working, trying to get some birds out of the sorghum. I took a shot at one that flushed wild. It was kind of a desperation shot. And then we start working the sorghum.
Prairie.
Or the prairie. And, yeah.
Back to the car. And the dogs were working up in front of me. And I actually had a wild flush of covey, or a covey of quail. Flush wild right in front of me, and I was able to get one down, and I think Nova retrieved that too.
Yeah, it landed right in the road.
Yeah,
I took her out there and let her work into it, and so she got some retrieving practice there, which was fun. We worked some singles, didn't work out for us.
Not that they weren't
are they
there
quick,
and,
Mac?
And not that the dogs didn't do work for me, but yeah, they're quick, and I guess I'm not used to quail, so I missed. Two easy shots on quail. So
well, there is no easy
well,
shot
that's
on a
true,
quail.
But I mean, you can't get much. You can't ask for much more out of that.
I mean, yeah, I mean that's just the way it goes.
Yep.
So that was the end of the night. Got some really good pictures. Really good. Kansas has great light for taking pictures.
You guys need to get on Instagram.
Check out our Instagram
and like that last picture. It really boosts Mitch's self-esteem.
Yeah, I'd really appreciate it. I'd like to get that up to more like 60 likes instead of the 49 it's got right now. Bothering me. 60,000. 60,000 would be great, too.
You should get that in a magazine. I mean, it's like money.
Pursuit International liked that picture.
Wow.
So Pursuit International, if you're listening to this, I'd love to write an article for you. Or you can...
Maybe the next article I write, I'll put it in the Iowa Sportsman's for you.
There we go.
I'll give you photo credit.
There we go. Perfect.
Oh. Nice.
I don't think there's ever been a picture that nice in Iowa Sportsman's, by the way.
Wow.
Guys are kind of fighting words there. Anyways.
It's just how proud Mitch is of it.
I'm really proud of that picture. So, end of the day. And this was the first place we'd seen other people hunting.
Yeah.
We saw somebody was in the first spot we were going to hunt. Working, well, I don't know if we would have hunted there, but.
What about the guy with the orange camo jacket that you made fun of? Remember that?
Where was that?
I don't remember.
All right, listen, people. if you're wearing orange camo bird hunting, because that's a deer hunting thing.
But what about
orange camo?
Orange pants are fine, right?
No. No. If you're wearing, and orange pants aren't even fine when you're deer hunting. I'm sorry.
Right.
What do you, Dad agrees.
Wow.
And
I thought he'd fight you with that.
Don't you have orange pants? Bibs? No.
Wow.
I think you look like a big fat pumpkin.
But.
And it's not the color that makes you look fat, it's your face.
He had a gunner kennel, and so you know he's a pro. Yeah, I remember.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was a gunner, and there was a rough tough.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
true.
I'd say that guy with the orange camo had the rough tough.
Probably. Cheapo.
You can't buy a cheap kennel anymore. It's ridiculous.
But, yeah, that was we thought about hitting that spot.
We were going to hit that spot.
And they pulled in right
they
before
They pulled
us.
In, and it was probably a good spot, too.
Yeah.
But, anyways.
Yeah, so we skipped over
so
that.
We saw them. That was before we shot the rooster.
Yep.
We were going to go to that spot, but they took it. Then we saw somebody right. Yeah, so in our last spot, we saw at least two or three other hunters.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there was that guy that was out there working just like that little tree patch. Right?
Well, it was like a dozer pile.
Yeah.
Like.
And then we saw a group of guys in a truck from Alabama.
And you know they were legit because they had the F-250
yep.
Super Duty.
Did they have a topper on?
With a topper.
Yeah, they probably had
pheasant
a deck system.
And quail forever stickers.
Ooh. Wow.
So. Yeah.
They're serious business
now,
right there.
I don't know if they saw anything or. And they were working a good piece too.
Yeah.
And then we saw a rooster come out very close to there that we thought about going back and shooting. Kansas, you can't hunt the road unless you have the owner's permission. To hunt that ditch, and it wasn't a walk-in spot, so we couldn't kill that bird. Yeah. We're trying to be good. So we headed south to our hotel. The day, what did we get? We got two quail,
two quail
and
a rooster,
rooster
that day. Doesn't sound like much, but my gosh, we felt happy about it.
After the first day and a half, we were like, okay, we're getting into it. We're getting into it now. So we stayed at a really crappy hotel.
I thought it was pretty nice. At least it wasn't like the $29 a night one. Remember that one?
No, that was the next one. That was it.
I thought we drove through another town, and it was $29 a night or
$119
per week, and then they had that sign.
There was a sign that said, no druggies or...
I thought it was something a little bit different than that. But
no, it was.
No dopers?
No dopers. No dopers.
It's something else.
We didn't stay at that one.
Yeah.
Because of the
But they had a lot of Budweiser Welcomes Bird Hunters signs in that town.
So we knew that was an area that we needed to hit.
Okay, so next morning, next morning, we get up, not super early, but we're at, so shooting lights at 6:45 or something, because you can hunt half hour before sunrise.
Half hour before sunrise.
Which when you can't even see.
Yeah, so we basically just started at like 7:15. Ish.
That morning it was like 7:45.
Oh, was it?
Maybe it was 7:25.
I don't remember.
Call it 7:30.
Yeah.
Call it 7:30.
Sure.
Because the light, it still wasn't like full sun. And it was pretty chilly that morning.
Yep.
We're driving down the road. We get to a piece of walk-in access, and we just see like a covey running down the road. And I'm like, it's on. And we hop out, and what happens, Mac?
Hop out, get the shells loaded, get Nova unloaded, and we start heading right down where we saw these birds enter the ditch, because this was Weehaw, so we could hunt this ditch. And I don't know if Nova actually pointed it or not, but I don't even know if she was even in the area.
She was birdie, but I don't think she was pointing them.
Covey got up, and they flew over to private, and I
bang, bang.
Maybe even more... like three
bang,
times.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, something like that. And I was irritated because I'd missed a lot of quail already. So
they're tough. They're frustrating.
Yeah.
We hunted two really nice-looking ditches.
Yeah.
We saw some pheasants kind of flying around the Milo, crowing.
Yeah.
I can't do a good...
Pheasant cackle? You can't do that?
Well, there's the cackle like when they're like scared flying off, but then there's the one where they just kind of like strutting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a...
I don't know.
That was really bad.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
So there's always the temptation when you hear one to go and, like, chase after it.
Oh,
We didn't find it.
Yeah, that's we had one. We worked that first ditch. We didn't see anything, but we had one fly from the sorghum into that little ditch.
And was, like, cackling.
Yeah, it cackled, and it went down. We watched it go down, and we went right for it.
It never works.
It never works.
It never works. I did the same thing, like, last night. Didn't work.
It's useless. I mean,
I've done it a couple times this year and flushed them.
I can't do it.
It's so tempting because, I mean,
it depends on the cover.
Right there.
It depends on the...
I don't have a dog, so, like, if I hear a bird...
Well, no, yeah.
After it.
Yeah, I think it's great. But it depends on the cover. Like, this was cut sorghum.
Yep.
He's going to run right through it.
Yeah.
So, nothing there, but looking good. So, we... Did we...
No, that was the very next spot.
Well, yeah, we ran two ditches. One with just Nova, one with Bell and Cy.
Yep.
The next one we ran just Nova.
Yeah.
And...
That was the best.
It was... We were getting into birds. I saw a rooster fly in...
Yeah, as we're loading the guns, getting Nova around, a rooster flies into the edge of the field, right?
This is like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, he's not. And then it was prairie, and then on the one side of the prairie, it was like wheat stubble or bean stubble.
Wheat or beans. Yeah.
I think it was wheat stubble, and you're like, oh, he's not going to go over into there. So you didn't really hug the edge of it so much. And we get down right around where this bird was at, and Nova stuck the point.
Yep, points, and that bird had points exactly where that bird had landed, and that bird had taken off.
He backdoored you.
He backdoored us, and she points, and I go up to flush this bird, and it flushes about 30 yards behind me in the wheat stubble where I didn't think it would be.
Well, it took off running into the wheat stubble, and then it finally took flight, I think.
Yeah, and it was cackling the whole time.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
You son of a gun. Anyways, but it was fun because we were like, okay, we're on something. Keep her moving up this field.
Pointed a couple hens.
Pointed hens. Really good points on hens.
Hit the end of the field there.
Well, before we hit the end of the field.
Yeah. It was kind of like it was the end of this shorter prairie, and then it hit a thicker prairie, right?
Yes.
And then there was sorghum right there.
In the corner of the shorter prairie, she pointed... And that's when that rooster got up.
Yep.
And we bam, 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 bam.
And we busted him.
And we got him down.
Yep.
And
sure tree.
She ran out, grabbed it, gave it a couple head shakes.
Just to make sure, you know.
She's a little violent.
Yeah.
But she brought it back. And yeah, so then we had first bird in the bag by about, I don't know, before 9:30, I think. Ran the rest of the field. Did she pointed a couple more.
I whiffed on that rooster.
Well, that was a tough one.
Because we were in some thick stuff. She pointed. I get up to her, and a hen flew up, I think, first.
No, the rooster came up.
Okay.
You
yeah,
shot.
Yeah, rooster flew up. It was kind of a low-flying rooster, and so I pulled the gun up, didn't shoot because Nova was kind of right there. Yep. It got up, and then I shot, missed, and then the hen... flew up.
I was about to take a shot at the rooster, and I heard another bird coming up,
yeah.
So I stopped, ended up being a rooster, or a hen, and that rooster was gone.
Yeah.
So we missed that one. We get to the end of the field, and we see, like, a covey quail kind of scurry and fly across the field.
Into walk-in hunting.
Across the road, into a weehaw area.
Yeah.
So we
worked Nova up in there. Nova... She pointed right where the birds were at, and then she figured out birds aren't here.
Yeah, where they had been.
Where they had been. And then we get her up a little bit closer, and she stuck that, too. And covey bus, and I got two out of there.
And I got nothing.
But she did really good with the retrieve, too, because I don't know if we would have found that one bird had she
not
been there.
No way. No, because both of them were kind of, like, I think, wounded.
Yeah.
And the first one, she immediately... grabbed, brought back, and then she's running around, and the other one was alive enough to kind of bury itself, but she found it for us.
Yep. And then at that point, I had run out of shells.
And so we started working back.
And
back to the truck, back to the car. Had a couple, she had at least one more hen point.
Oh, she had more than that.
She had one hen.
And then
we kept
the one
working.
That I videoed.
I think so, yeah. And then we work up closer to a sorghum field. Points. We didn't know where she was. I'm like, and at this point, I don't want to just call her because we know there's lots of birds. So I kind of look around. I see her, not moving. I'm like, okay, she's on point. And So I walk up. She, what happens then? Yeah, so she, I walk up there. Boom, hen, if she doesn't move, hen gets up. Really happy. She chases the hen. I'm
you
happy.
You started to follow the hen, too, a little
well,
bit.
Well, I mean, yeah, I was just kind of playing around.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, well, hen gets up. Another hen gets up.
Yep.
Goes the other way. Like, okay. And then, boom, right after that, rooster gets up. Dropped him.
He smashed him.
Dropped him into the sorghum.
Pillowcase. Right in the air.
And so we had to bring back. No, probably would have been better to just go and grab that bird because Nova didn't know. But I was pretty sure I smoked it. Brought Nova back. She grabbed the bird and she had to hunt around a little bit. Made a retrieve and we kept working back the truck.
Found some more hens.
More hens. And yeah, that was good for her.
Yeah.
So she had to put her up. And yeah, I was more than happy with the work she did there.
So then after that was over, I believe we brought the car around to that other spot where we busted the covey. And we let Cy and Bella out. And I don't know what Cy's deal was, but I don't know if he's got competition issues with Bella or what, but he flushed quite a few singles.
Yeah. Yeah, he
that
just,
was really disappointing.
He was just, but, yeah, I don't know. He just wasn't having it. No. He just wanted to get pressure him a little too much, I think.
Yeah. And you could, it was pretty obvious. He was birdie on him, and I think he maybe even pointed a couple
of them.
I
think he pointed, like, there were several.
Yeah, but he wanted them, and he...
Well, there was at least one or two where he was pointing, and I was there, but they
flew out the back.
Flew around cover that I couldn't shoot through, so that wasn't his fault. But we saw a flock of prairie chickens.
That was awesome.
We had discussed how are we going to know if it's a prairie chicken or a hen pheasant.
Trust me, when you see them, you will know because they were grouped up.
If you think it's a hen pheasant, it's a hen pheasant.
Yep. They don't fly like pheasants. They float. They like glide.
Yeah, they glide and they make some weird
like a chicken noise,
jigga noise or something. I don't know.
But yeah, you will look for the bands too. Yep. They got black banding around their bodies, and that's pretty obvious as well.
Yeah. So we worked them.
I whiffed on another rooster.
We saw some birds.
Stuck a point, and I missed it for her.
Yep. And she had some really good points on hens,
yep,
too, that I would have destroyed. I was kind of thinking, oh, those are prairie chickens. They weren't prairie chickens. No.
Then
it's like, oh, we took a break.
Yeah.
Took a break.
I mean, we were both exhausted.
Yeah, my ankle is starting to hurt really bad. Spots after we took a break, not great. That first.
It was hot. It was 50 degrees at this point.
Yeah. Trying to think, like, where we went from there. Is that, did we just kind of hunt for somewhere after that? We didn't hunt.
We took our break. We went to one spot.
Yeah.
I can't remember where that was, and then we hit the last spot of the day.
Was that, yeah. And we, at this point, we just let, we put up Cy. He's like, he's done.
Yeah.
We gave
Nova a shot the first crack, her first go around.
And she did
good.
Really well, but we are mostly seeing
hens.
The roosters were getting smart. So one, she didn't even know where it was.
She was working it. She
oh,
was
yeah.
Working it good.
But it was running.
Yeah.
It wouldn't hold still. And she hasn't figured that out yet.
She got.
I think that happened a couple times, maybe.
Maybe. Got a little too close and it just flushed.
Yep. Yep. A little too close. But we saw kind of where they went. And this was another quarter section.
Oh, it was bigger than that, wasn't it?
I thought it was just 160.
It was huge.
It felt big. Yeah.
That thing had to have been 300 acres or more.
I'd have to look at the map.
Yeah.
So we walk her down and back, put her up, drive around to the corner. Well, we drove around a little bit, but we drove back to the opposite corner of where we had been working Nova because we thought some roosters had flown in there. Worked Bella. And she, I don't know, like, did she find anything?
No, there wasn't really anything over there, except for the one that...
I almost stepped on a rooster, powdered it. And I
incredible.
See it go down into a little bit of taller cover. Bella didn't see it, but I wanted her to work a retrieve, and I'm pretty sure this bird's dead. So I call her back, and I try to work her into this thing.
Well, we kind of heard it scurry a little bit, though.
Well, I thought it was just flapping around.
Yeah,
that's
what I thought, too.
It got up and ran off.
It was not there.
And I was a little bit ticked off of myself that I didn't just run up there and grab it. But I wanted her to kind of work it, and we just could not find the thing. I still
don't know if maybe it just didn't half bury itself, because you literally pillowcased that thing.
No, if it would have buried herself, Bella would have found it.
Yeah.
She would have scented that thing. If there would have been respiration.
Yeah.
Dead birds are harder to find than living birds, because living birds are breathing.
Yeah.
And so if it would have been living enough to, do that,
yeah,
she would have found it.
Well, and then
she took off running after something.
Yeah.
And I think she was trailing it.
Yeah.
But she doesn't have a whole lot of trailing experience, so that's probably why. Whatever. I was a little bit bummed. We lost that last bird, but
that was the only one that we lost.
That was the only one we lost. So not bad for recovering birds. It's nice. That's one of the nice things about having dogs. I mean, probably would have just lost. There's a quail. Most of the quail we shot landed in halfway decent cover, but Nova definitely found one that would have been lost.
We connected on a couple of those, we would have had a hard time finding had we not had a dog.
Nova found a quail for me this morning that there's no way. I wing-tipped it, and it flew into some wooded cover.
Yeah.
And this thing was, no way I would have got it.
Yeah.
And she cornered the thing, and I snagged it. But that was the end of our Kansas trip. We loaded up at 5 p.m., hit the road. 7 hours later, we're home.
Yep.
So
we had planned on staying the night again around that area and hunting in the morning. And at that point, we just had to kind of sit down and be like, is this realistic? Are we actually going to get up and hunt in the morning? And the dogs were hurting. I was definitely hurting. And we were just kind of like, let's book it home.
I guess conclusions on the Kansas trip. We know where we're going next time.
Yeah, we're not
going to... Not exactly. I think I'm at least going to hit that spot, but we know where we're not going.
Yeah, definitely.
We definitely
learned a lot, too, of where our birds at, habitat-wise.
All the quail that we found were right next to a road.
Sorghum.
They were right next to sorghum, and they were on
most of them were around prairie as well.
So prairie, sorghum,
and a road.
And a road. So... that's kind of where we were finding quail. Whatever.
And then roosters, I mean, pretty much same thing. Probably a little bit more in the prairie.
A little further into the prairie.
But still, you want to stick around the sorghum.
Yep.
I mean,
and next time, I'm not going to book in that.
No.
I'm not going to plan on staying in the same area to kind of have a base out of. I'm going to plan on moving every day.
Yeah.
Unless it's so hot, then I'll just stay there. That's going to be my next road trip is just kind of
flexible. Yeah, you got to be flexible. We're hunting public ground. You don't know who's going to be or how much it's going to be pressured before you get there.
So, I don't know. I'm a little bummed that we didn't see more quail. I mean, we're hearing a lot of reports that bird numbers are down. People aren't feeling good about how many birds they're apparently canceling hotel reservations and stuff and just going home because the bird numbers are down. But at the same time, we follow some guys that are finding 12 plus coveys a day.
And there's a specific guy and he was averaging 5 coveys of quail per day. And these last couple of days, it was 12 and 13 coveys of quail a day.
That's what it said, yeah.
That's just crazy.
How could you even see 12 to 13 coveys a day? I mean, how could you not have your limit before that?
He was limiting by one, wasn't he?
There's two of them.
Yeah.
A bird limit.
Okay.
And he said a lot of the coveys that he was working, he wasn't even hitting the singles because they were just smaller coveys.
That is another thing is that I've heard that the covey numbers, I mean, the birds per covey are down, which we saw one small covey.
And it was 10? That was probably the...
I guess I don't know because it got up in the sun. I couldn't really see.
Are you talking about the one that I shot that bird out of?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say there's probably 10 birds in there.
Okay, well, that's not bad. Yeah. It's small. Probably.
It was the smallest
well,
we saw.
Well, it's small-ish. Yeah, I wouldn't want to take more a lot more birds no. out of that.
We only
but
one
we saw was like 30.
Yeah.
So it's there's some disparity in how many birds there really are out there. But I think there's still a lot of sorghum in
yeah.
some places, the places where there are birds. And that is reducing the number of birds you're going to be able to see. So... you just gotta keep working, find what works, and that's kind of, we patterned them and did pretty well once we figured that out. So.
So does Kansas got it going on or what? What's your thoughts?
It's from what I've seen, I mean, okay, what I see on YouTube is, yeah, it's got it going on,
yeah.
but that's what I felt like I was going into and had
yeah.
major disappointment on Saturday,
yeah.
but it's solid. But I think we could have had just as much
yep.
luck in Iowa.
That's what I was going to yep. say. I think we could have had just as much luck in Iowa. However, it was a new spot and it was a lot of fun. And number two, I think had we had a couple more days in that area of driving around and hitting more spots, or even southwest of there where we'd
yes.
maybe talked about
yep.
going,
yep.
I think we would have hammered them.
Yep.
I really do.
Also, the thing about Iowa, not nearly as much access.
Oh, gosh, no.
So
that's what was so awesome. I mean, we'd be driving down the road. We had a little map that we picked up at Walmart. And it had all of the walk-in hunting areas on it, and that's basically what we followed. But not even all of them were on there. I mean, we'd go down the road and we'd see, oh, there's a Weehaw sign there that looks fairly decent. Maybe we'll hit that or. Yeah, yeah, Onyx does have that. Yeah, but I didn't download any maps and I don't. Sorry, a little side conversation with Dad going on. What were you saying, Michael?
Well, I was just, you were saying you could have done just as well in Iowa. Are you talking about just numbers of birds, or are you talking about quail?
Both.
Probably both. This is where the access issue comes into play.
We weren't going to have any problems finding public hunting in Kansas.
Right.
But there's not as much public land to hunt in Iowa. We've already established that. But how hard is it to get access to private ground in Iowa to bird hunt? If we're talking about deer hunting, oh, forget about it. But we're talking about bird hunting.
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael. Your chances probably to bird hunt are a lot better than hunting for deer hunting in Iowa. But... another thing you're up against, though, is these guys that are leasing the ground. Once it's leased, it don't matter. I mean, even if a guy's in there leasing it for deer hunting, you're not going to – you can't – you know, the owner's not going to give you permission to
sure.
go in there and bird hunt it.
Sure.
But the reason why I grabbed the mic from Mitch here for a minute is you're talking about, you know, Iowa and being able to, you know, have as good as luck. The problem – I mean, you guys agree with me or disagree with me, but you probably would have had to have moved more and traveled more to find that, whereas you guys were in an area and you was able to hunt because of the Weehaw, is that what you're calling it, the Weehaw ground? I mean,
I'm going to disagree with you a little bit here, and
yeah.
I wasn't on the trip, but and the reasoning being, if we're talking about quail, is we're talking about basically the bottom two counties,
two tiers
of counties in Iowa that you're going to be hunting quail. And so those populations are going to be concentrated in a smaller area. So yes, you might be moving around in those areas, but you know, you could still work just a couple counties.
Yeah. You've got a good point there. And also, in those two tiers where, you know, quail predominate as far as populations of quail in Iowa, you know, you have, if you're going to hunt public ground, there are several large public areas that you would hunt. And so there's a good chance you would just kind of hit those as hard as you can and not move. And in Kansas, it was just kind of, I say smaller sections. We're talking like the smallest is like a quarter section.
Yeah.
Like they can get down, I think, to 40 acres or less.
I don't think we saw anything.
But, yeah, most of them are like 160 acres or more. And, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to make that judgment call. Like, what would be easier. I think because we are more familiar with Iowa, that's why we would have done just as well.
If we were from Kansas coming to Iowa,
it would have been hard, really hard.
Yeah, but because we are from Iowa, we've hunted this area or areas of Iowa for a little while now. We kind of know where birds are at and what they do. I mean, it's not hard to go out and shoot a few birds a day, but going to Kansas, I mean, that was, especially like the first time, that was tough doing that, you know?
So to, you know, play that back a little bit, you're saying that your local knowledge in Iowa is helping you be successful where others might not be so successful. So conversely, do you think that the reason some people say that Kansas is the bomb diggity is because they're from Kansas and you did well without having any, you know, hunting it for the first time, but you got guys that have been hunting it for years and they know that land and they can crush it.
The guy that we've been talking about, he's from Indiana.
But so how long has he been hunting there?
I don't know for sure, but a few years.
At least this year he had some local knowledge with him, though.
Okay.
But there's another guy that we've been following that is from Kansas and does solid. But, again, I don't know exactly. Kansas is a big state, you know, and it's and it's very regional how these populations. Like, it's like there's like a waves of population for quail and for pheasant. So,
So we basically just determined that Iowa is almost half the size of Kansas. Not quite. It's a little bit bigger than half.
It's three-fifths.
There you go. Three-fifths. And Iowa's...
I did that in my head.
Iowa's definitely regionalized as far as birds. Heavily.
Yeah. I guess what I was saying about Kansas trying to say is, like, on the... It's, again, according to the quail survey, according to the roadside counts, very east is actually good. Then it goes down, then it goes up, then it goes down, then it goes up as you work your way to the west. That's kind of what I was reading into it. I could, again, be wrong, but... Yeah, I think maybe next time we'll try to get... We're trying to do a little research, trying to give somebody just a general area. We couldn't even get, like... The best advice we got was...
Hunt the sorghum. And that was the best advice
ever. And there's about... there's about 20 million acres of sorghum. So, take your pick. But, Mac, what'd you say, like, kind of for the final day, what were the numbers you tallied up?
So we killed between 12 o'clock on Sunday and 12 o'clock on Monday. So 8 hours of hunting, more or less. We killed eight birds.
But yeah.
We killed eight birds, and we took shots at, I don't know if I really want to say this, I might be a little bit embarrassed, but we took shots at 16 birds. So we were 50%.
Yeah.
Most of that was probably me. Most of the misses.
No, I missed quite a bit. But, so that 8 hours of hunting, 8 hours of hunting light was hot.
Yeah. And I don't know if we hunted for 8 hours in Iowa if we could get shots at 16 birds.
It depends on the region.
Yeah.
And what you're hunting, quail or pheasant.
Yeah.
I think there are parts of Iowa where, it again depends on, we could go on for days about this, but I mean, depends on time of the season. These birds in Kansas are still pretty stupid.
Yeah. Which was awesome, and that's kind of like, it's not really why we chose Kansas, but that was definitely a plus. This is only the second week of their season.
Nova was getting way too close to these birds, but they weren't moving, and so it was pretty awesome to let her work on those.
Mm-hmm.
We've been out in Iowa since then, and they will not hold for anything at this point, even with snow on the ground and pretty chilly. So we're already at the point where we need really cold weather to get the birds to, like, not move. The pheasant to not move. Quail, obviously, are always going to hold a little bit better. But, yeah, so that was Kansas. It's a good time. I'd like to get back there at some point if I can, I think.
Yeah.
Just because of the access, it makes a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
A lot of fun.
I'd go back in a heartbeat.
So.
We talked, you wanted to talk a little bit about the reports that came out before season actually started, and that's basically why we chose our first spot, and that's why we ended up choosing our second spot as well. But why do you think those reports were so misleading?
I don't know. I mean,
were we just not seeing birds? I mean, I don't see how, because We literally walked 5 miles the first day, and we literally drove 50 miles in this one county that was supposed to have very good quail numbers.
Yeah, the quail numbers in that county are roughly double what they are where we're at in Iowa, and we've got good quail numbers here.
We can jump multiple coveys a day.
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to say, well, it's because the crops weren't out. Well, where this county had most of the crops out.
Yeah.
Maybe we just weren't in the right spots in that county. It doesn't make sense to me, but...
There's a theory that I've read on a couple of forums that say these reports have to do with money. That cities give the Department of Natural Resources or ask them to skew the numbers. I don't know if this is true or not at all, but what do you think about that? So that they get tourism.
I know that this county that we were in had no Budweiser's Welcomes hunters, so apparently they weren't too worried about tourism.
That's true.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my number one. We're going to wrap this up. Concluding thought. This is my concluding thought. If you're looking for a good hunting area, you need to go to a gas station. And that gas station should have a sign that says, Budweiser or Busch Light welcomes hunters. You see that,
stay there.
You're in a good spot. That's my concluding thought. Dad's concluding thought is go to a local watering hole. Take that as you will.
Mac? Concluding thoughts. I had fun in Kansas. I want to do it again. Number two, do your research if you're going to go somewhere, but kind of take it with a grain of salt, I guess. If you're watching YouTube like we were and getting all jacked up about, oh, yeah, we're going to limit before noon and all this type of stuff, I mean, just kind of go into it relaxed and don't have super high expectations. But if you're going to Kansas, check out the Weehaw. Don't just hunt the pasture grounds that we were hunting that first day, but check out the sorghum fields next to the prairie, next to roads. I think you'll have good luck.
Michael, how's the rabbit hunting been going?
The rabbit hunting's been great. I have this theory that I shoot down better than I shoot up. I don't know what that's about. But. So there's this thought that social media has ruined hunting or ruined fishing, right? For various reasons. And I think that social media had something to do with your expectations of how hunting was going to go down in Kansas, because you don't see pictures of guys going hunting in Kansas and taking a picture of their empty vest at the end of the day. They don't post pictures of that.
I mean, I would have been willing to if I had to,
but you don't see that. The old man says the social media is the devil.
It's a farce.
So you had expectations based on what you'd been viewing from Instagram accounts, Facebook pages, blah blah blah, and that becomes your reality. But then you get there and you find something different, and I just think it goes to show. Well, you guys said it right here. You could have done just as well in Iowa as what you did in Kansas. And we always have these expectations we hear about these dream places, and a lot of them are, you know, driven by tourism dollars, you know, people pumping out money to get their city placed in a magazine or in a TV show, or there's some lodge that's paying money to be on a TV show or whatever. And so there's all this money is going to promoting these special places, but there's special places everywhere, and it's just about perspective. And so I think, you know, maybe we need to challenge our perspective sometimes, and there's good hunting, there's good fishing, there's great opportunities wherever you are, and the grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Man, we could talk a long time. I want to talk about this some more, but because I've got some, and because you're right, you're absolutely right. And so the question that Mac and I have to ask ourselves is, with the experience that we had, would we have gone, if we would have known what we were getting into? So on Friday night, as we were driving to Kansas, if we would have known the amount of birds that we were going to get into, would we still have been happy with it on Friday night? That's kind of the opposite of that question. And I'd say, yeah, I'm happy, because it wasn't just about the birds that we got into. It's about working the dogs, having a fun experience, seeing something new. And, yeah, I can, with the social media aspect, well, I think we should save that for another episode, because I think it could be really good, actually, for hunting. I think there's some arguments there, but, yeah, that's got something to say.
Well, you kind of said it there at the last, you know, it wasn't necessarily about the bird numbers and stuff and what you guys killed. It was about the trip and spending time with your brother and your dogs and things like that. And that's, and when you stay home, a lot of times you get a hunt, but when you leave the state and you go make a trip like that, you're dedicated to the hunt. Okay, and so you're staying in a hotel, and so you're putting a lot of effort in it. A lot of times when you're staying here at home, you may not be putting in quite the effort that you would be like you are when you're on the road like that and taking a road trip to do the hunt. But no, I mean, you guys all bring up great points about everything, but it's about it's not necessarily about the kill. It's about the hunt. It's about spending time with your dog, spending time with your family, and just getting away and just enjoying a different state.
I want to add one more thing to that. I was happy with how Kansas ended up turning out. But I also want to say that I want to go back to Kansas, and this first trip was definitely a huge learning experience. Had we not gone to Kansas this first time, I mean, that wouldn't have been a learning experience. We learned a lot.
It's gonna impact how I hunt in Iowa.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, and it's gonna impact how I hunt other areas as well. But, yeah, I was, learned a lot about it, so.
All right. We're going to wrap it up with that, but thanks for tuning in. We'd appreciate it if you'd, like and subscribe, rate, review, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.